I'm Josie Briggs. I'm the editor-in-chief of the Journal of the American Society of Nephrology. Each month, I take a few minutes and talk through the highlights of each issue. I hope this is a help to you in looking forward to the issue and finding things of interest to you to read. I want to start by telling you briefly about two important COVID-related papers in this issue. Both deal with the long-term consequence of COVID infections. The first is a large study by Boa and his co-authors that uses real-world evidence drawn from the VA health record systems. They have a cohort of about 90,000 COVID survivors, and they compare health risks in this group with 1.6 million controls. And find that beyond the acute phase of illness, 30-day survivors of COVID exhibited elevated risks of AKI, estimated GFR decline, and end-stage kidney disease. Risks increased according to the severity of the acute infection. These findings document the burden that post-acute COVID care will pose on our health systems and tell us it must include attention to kidney disease. The second study addresses a much less common problem post-COVID, but an important one to nephrologists. Kudos et al. Examined long-term outcomes of biopsy-proven COVID-19-associated glomerulopathy, a relatively rare condition. Of 23 patients, most were self-identified as Black. They had in general mild to moderate COVID-19, but presented with nephrotic range proteinuria and acute kidney injury. About two-thirds required dialysis. Of the 17 genotyped patients, 16 had the high-risk APOL1 genotype. The AKI was frequently reversible, but the long-term prognosis of these patients remains guarded, and more effective therapy will be needed. So this is by Kudos and co-authors. Another highlight this month is illustrated on our cover. All of you who are ASN members should have the journal in your mailbox. On the cover, you will see a figure that illustrates a new tool that I think will be of interest. It's called the podocyter. The classic method to identify podocytes involves manual counting of immunostained podocyte nuclei. Very laborious. Govind and co-authors have developed a cloud-based tool for automated label-free podocyte detection and three-dimensional quantification from PAS-stained histological section. Using a diverse data set, including rodent models of glomerular disease and human biopsies with steroid-resistant nephrotic syndrome and human autopsy tissue, they demonstrate the tool's generalizability. The tool is available and free. We think it will facilitate research involving podocyte morphometry and may make its way into clinical applications. So it's by Govind and co-workers. Sticking with histology, another paper in this issue addresses the value of histology to assess prognosis of CKD. As our listeners know, the severity of CKD is typically assessed by measuring estimated GFR and proteinuria. But real histological changes, such as interstitial fibrosis, tubular atrophy, and glomerular sclerosis, are known to be associated with worse prognosis. The question is, how much additional information do they provide about disease severity? Quinn and co-authors took an analysis of 859 kidney tissue samples and looked at the relationship between the histological changes and GFR. They found it was not linear. With more advanced stages, CKD stages 3 to 5, eGFR estimated the degree and severity of interstitial fibrosis, tubular atrophy, glomerular sclerosis pretty well. but it correlated quite poorly in the earlier stages of kidney disease. People with diabetes, hypertension, or self-identified as Black had more severe histological damage at the same eGFR. The lesson from these studies is that histological analysis is an important complementary method for kidney disease evaluation, most particularly at early disease stages, because some patients present with relatively severe structural damage despite preserved eGFR. So this is by Quinn and co-authors. Another important paper with some very practical implications addresses obesity in kidney donors. Half of U.S. transplant patients typically exclude kidney donor candidates who are obese from donation because of concerns about the association of obesity with adverse health outcomes. An analysis we're publishing this month by Ibrahim and co-authors compares mortality, kidney failure, proteinuria, diabetes, and hypertension in 6,822 non-obese and 1,761 obese donors. They found that obesity in kidney donors, as in the general population, is associated with increased risk of developing diabetes, hypertension, and proteinuria. No surprise there. However, the absolute risk of end-stage kidney disease in this cohort was small in the obese subjects, and the risk of mortality not statistically increased. An editorial by John Gill accompanies this paper and discusses the important implications these findings have for donor evaluation. And the last paper I want to tell you about looks at the questions of whether there's impaired tubular secretion in advanced CKD. As our listeners know, in our GFR-centric view of the kidney, we largely concentrate on the fall in GFR as a measure of declining kidney function. But we also know there's more to the kidney than the glomerulus. In this paper, Mayer and co-authors test the hypothesis that in patients with CKD, clearance of waste solutes removed by tubular secretion may be altered to an extent that is disproportionate to the reduction in GFR. The authors used advanced metabolomic methods to examine the renal handling of 36 secreted solutes in patients with advanced CKD, estimated GFR under 12. They found that secretion of 18 solutes, including phenylacetate, acetylglutamine, p-cresol sulfate, and indoxyl sulfate, but not hippurate, was reduced relative to GFR. These findings provide a valuable data set for continued exploration of the longstanding problem of what waste solutes contribute to uremic symptoms. So this is by Mayer and co-authors. So, thank you for your interest. I think we have a terrific November issue for you to look at. I hope you find a lot there that's of interest. Again, thanks for listening.
This podcast is copyrighted by the American Society of Nephrology. All rights reserved. All content in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. This podcast should not be used in a medical emergency or for the diagnosis or treatment of any medical condition. Please consult your doctor or other qualified healthcare provider if you have any questions about any medical condition, or before taking any drug, changing your diet, or commencing or discontinuing any course of treatment. Thank you for listening to this podcast from the American Society of Nephrology.